السلام عليكم ورحمة الله. أشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد فأعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين الرحمن الرحيم مالك يوم الدين وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين وإذ يرفع إبراهيم القواعد من البيت وإسماعيل ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا واجعلنا مسلمين لك ومن ذرياتنا أمة مسلمة لك وارنا مناسكنا وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم ربنا وابعث فيهم رسولا منهم يتلو عليهم آياتك ويعلمهم الكتاب والحكمة ويزكيهم إنك أنت العزيز الحكيم إن آيات کا ترجمہ یہ ہے کہ اور جب ابراہیم
اس خاص حضور says the translation of these verses of the Holy Quran is and remember the time when Abraham and Ismail raised the foundations of the house praying that our Lord accept this from us for thou art all hearing all knowing and our Lord make us submissive to thee and make of our offspring a people submissive to thee and show us our ways of worship and turn to us with mercy for thou art oft returning with compassion and merciful and our Lord raise up among them a messenger from among themselves who may recite to them thy signs and teach them the book and wisdom and might purify them. Surely thou art the mighty, the wise. These verses of the Holy Quran mention that great example and prayer which illustrate the highest standards of humility and humbleness, sacrifice and loyalty, prayers of concern for one's progeny to remain connected to God Almighty, and prayers to guide mankind and for them to become the servant of God. The first verse depicts that immense sacrifice which was carried out by Hazrat Ibrahim, Hazrat Abraham and Hazrat Ismail, peace be upon them. In other words, each and every stone that they were using to construct the Khana Kaaba, the house of God, was also drawing attention towards the fact that after the construction of this house of God, the father and the son and their generation which would follow were going to permanently settle in that uncultivated and barren land. This was also drawing the attention to the son, that now, in order for this uncultivated and barren land to be populated, you are going to settle here. Both these pious persons, these chosen ones of God the Almighty, indeed had firm conviction upon the promise of Allah the Almighty that one day this house of God will become a focal point, the center for all mankind. However, they were completely unaware when all of this would come to be fulfilled. At that time, all that was before them and they were aware of were sacrifices and more sacrifices. But it is the height of humility that despite this, they pray to God the Exalted, that this task that we are undertaking of constructing your house is by virtue of your grace alone. Thus they said, accept the sacrifice from us, and did not express any sense of importance on their own part that this work that we have carried out, this gives us the right to receive a reward in return and to receive a reward quickly. Instead, they pray to this Sami'ul Alim God, this God who is all-hearing and all-knowing, who listens and answers the prayers, that our Lord accept our prayers. Whatever we had to offer by way of sacrifice, we have done so for your sake. And we pledge in future also to continuously sacrifice. Indeed, it is our desire that our future generations and progeny partake in this sacrifice. This was a prayer of these two holy and pious persons. Then they said, addressing God the Exalted, we have revealed the reality of our hearts before you. You are the most knowledgeable, you are aware. Whatever we are doing, whatever we are saying, is only and only for acquiring your pleasure. Accept this sacrifice from us and rapidly form this house into such a house that by virtue of being the house of God, this barren land comes to be populated. From what we understood of your command, we carried out the outward or physical construction of this house, so that it could become the focal point of mankind. However, true habitation and populence of this area will be by virtue of your grace alone, O Lord. Grant those people who apparently populate this area that insight and discernment which can enable them to reach to you, and grant them the ability to enhance in their spirituality. Thus, this was that spirit based on which the mosques of Muslims are built. And this is a spirit that should be followed. Or else, just a beautiful building alone is of no value. Numerous beautiful mosques are constructed. However, the true spirit of mosques are devoid within. The purpose of a mosque is missing from them. The Holy Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has stated that within mosque there should not be embellishments or adornment, as is normally found in the worship places of other religions. Yet we find many mosques that within are filled with adornments, decorations and embellishments that were built by kings and wealthy persons. In fact, some of these kings had gold-plated embellishments placed in their mosques. However, these decorations, gold-plated embellishments and adornments are not the real beauty of the mosques. The real beauty of the mosque lies in those who populate it. It is entailed in such people who come to the mosque for the sole reason of acquiring the pleasure of God the Supreme. Hazrat Musleh Maud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, the second Khalifa of the Ahmadiyya community, stated that I went to an Arab country. This perhaps relates to Egypt. He said, when I entered a very large and beautiful mosque, I observed that there was just a handful of worshippers praying in one corner. When I inquired for them regarding this, then the Imam of the mosque, who was leading the prayers, explained that people do not come for prayers. And thus, out of embarrassment and shame, I do not stand in the mihrab to lead the prayers. For what will a newcomer think? That in such a large and beautiful mosque, there are just a handful of worshippers. For this reason, we pray in the corner, so that people assume that the actual prayers have been completed, and these people have come late and are praying after. However, on the other side, there is also another circumstance, that there are people who go to the mosque. There is a large congregation within the mosque, but generally speaking, their hearts are devoid of that spirit, which should be found in one who goes to mosques. During their prayers, materialism and worldliness remains predominant in their thoughts, and their focus is not solely and purely towards God the Almighty. Thus, we should always remember that when we construct and build mosques, or will build mosques in the future, then they should be made for the sake of submitting and prostrating to Allah the Supreme and acquiring His pleasure. And the sacrifices that are made for the mosque to be constructed should lead us to being grateful to God Almighty rather than feeling any sense of pride. Because these sacrifices that we carry out are not equal to even a millionth of that sacrifice, in fact are even less than the sacrifice made by Hazrat Ismail, peace be upon him. We only undertake financial sacrifices, and even those sacrifices are generally made within our resources and our means. Certainly, in the circumstances of the world today, these financial sacrifices are also immense sacrifices that are carried out for a pious objective. Such people who change their priorities and then undertake financial sacrifices with the purpose of enabling a mosque to construct, this is most certainly a praiseworthy endeavor. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam on many occasions has drawn attention towards this. Such people are deserving of reward in the view of Allah the Almighty. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, the attention of the Jamaat in the Western countries have been especially drawn towards this issue, and mosques are being constructed. Many a people have changed their priorities to such a degree that they do not only make sacrifices out of their disposable income, rather they place themselves into difficulty and give financial sacrifices. However, even then we should keep in mind that we should never feel any sense of pride. Approximately 1.2 million pounds has been spent on the construction of this mosque. And the Jamaat here has made promises to almost this amount. With the grace of Almighty Allah, they are also paying their amounts and fulfilling their pledges. 75% of the pledges have already been paid. Some have made great and immense sacrifices. I was looking over and saw that some individuals have made sacrifices up to 84,000 and 78,000 respectively. There are other members who have made contributions of 15,000 to 30,000 pounds. I also saw that the pledges of around 11 people total to more than 300,000 pounds. Thus, these are huge sacrifices made by the members of the Jamaat in light of the current world circumstances. Even then, every single sacrifice should lead us towards further humility and humbleness. For despite all of this, the example and model that Allah the Almighty has presented before us, that is, that our sacrifices are of no value, are nothing. Secondly, these sacrifices will only be beneficial when this mosque is populated. On the one hand, there was that one barren, uncultivated and deserted place where no one lived. It was there that the house of God was constructed. And in these countries, they are also barren, spiritually speaking. We also need to populate these areas, and it is for this purpose that we construct mosques in Europe. Thus, this is an immense task that we always need to bear in mind. Our mosque will not be populated by only coming for the Friday prayer, but we also must come for the daily prayers. And today, when we are inaugurating this mosque, we should pray, رَبَّنَا تَقَبَّلْ مِنَّا إِنَّكَ أَنْتَ السَّمِيعُ الْعَلِيمُ, that our Lord accept this from us, for Thou art all-hearing, all-knowing. In short, our financial sacrifices will only be accepted when we make this pledge and pray to Allah the Almighty, that whilst accepting these sacrifices from us, also provide the means for our spiritual progress. And grant us the ability to populate this mosque at all times, because you are aware that the sole purpose of the construction of this mosque is for your worship. And then may such people inhabit this local area who advance in spirituality. For this mosque has been built to always remember you. Therefore, accepting our sacrifice enable us to attain that spiritual station which will become a means of attaining nearness to you, to enable us to acquire your blessings and rewards and attain your heaven. It is mentioned in the Ahadith. In a hadith of Musnad Ahmad bin Hanbal, that Rasulullah, the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, stated that on the Day of Judgment, the Most Glorious Lord will exclaim that those gathered will be aware who the esteemed and honored will be. Someone inquired that, Ya Rasulullah, O Messenger of Allah, who will be those who will be esteemed and honored? The Prophet replied that those who held assemblies for the remembrance of God in mosque. Then there is a hadith of Bukhari, which has been reported by Hadrat Abu Huraira. He relates that Nabi Karim, the noble Prophet, peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, has stated that he who goes to the mosque each morning and evening, God will prepare hospitality and provisions for him in paradise. Thus, our mosque should be such which establish standards of nobility and honor. May this mosque, and may those who enter this mosque be those who come to be pleased by God the Exalted, and are those who seek His pleasure. And may they partake of Allah the Supreme's hospitality in paradise. Thus, how fortunate are those people who build mosques with this intention, and indeed come to mosques with this intention. Not only do they attain the paradise of this world, rather, they are also given paradise in the hereafter, or it can be said in other words that they do not only search for the paradise mentioned in the hadith. In fact, they also search for the paradise of this world. It is often written in the domes of our mosques, and it is also written in the dome of the mosque here, that Ala bi zikrillahi tatma'inul qulub, that it is in the remembrance of Allah that hearts can find comfort. Thus, what greater paradise is there for those whose hearts find comfort and tranquility? All the anxieties and distresses that are being created and are prevalent in the world today are all as a result of forgetting God. Those who remember Allah the Exalted, whose tongues are always expressing remembrance of Allah the Almighty, also endure difficulties for His sake. They make these difficulties a means of acquiring the pleasure of Allah the Almighty and a source of attaining comfort and tranquility of the heart. There are thousands of people who commit suicide, and they do so on a daily basis. The reason why they do this is they cannot endure worldly losses and griefs. Some are so adversely affected due to worldly losses and griefs that they suffer fatal heart attacks. Just in the recent days, somebody wrote to me from Pakistan that a most fierce and extreme storm occurred. Perhaps this was in the area of Sheikhupura. People's crops were destroyed. One farmer went to his farm. It was perhaps crop of watermelon upon his farm, and he saw that all his crops had been wiped away. He was so shocked and grieved by this that as soon as he saw this, he suffered a heart attack and passed away. People of God Almighty are not so affected and grieved by these worldly losses and griefs. Rather, upon every such grief, they attach more to God the Exalted. Whenever faced with such griefs, a believer comes into the lap of Allah the Supreme and attains tranquility, satisfaction, and comfort of the heart. In one place of the Holy Quran, in Surah Ar-Rahman, Allah the Almighty states, وَلِمَنْ خَافَ مَقَامَ رَبِّهِ جَنَّتَانِ. But for him who fears to stand before his Lord, there are two gardens. Thus those who remember God and who worship God with fear in the heart acquire comfort and tranquility of the heart and attain paradise in this world. And then, once they attain the paradise of this world, after becoming an Abdurrahman, a servant of God, they also become the recipients of the paradise of the hereafter. Then, in the second verse of the Holy Quran, I recited at the outset, Hadrat Ibrahim and Hadrat Ismail supplicate with the prayer, Rabbana waja'alna muslimayni laka, that our Lord both of us make us pious and righteous persons. Observe once again the great humility demonstrated. Despite all the sacrifices they carried out, and despite being appointed and selected people of God Almighty, they still pray that our Lord make us into your righteous and pious persons. Despite the fact that Hadrat Abraham, peace be upon him, left his wife and child in a desolate and barren land in accordance with the command of God the Exalted, yet he prays to Allah the Almighty to make him into a submissive servant of Allah. He sacrificed everything in the way of God, his family, his wife, his children, yet he prays to God Almighty to be granted such submission and obedience that would make him into one who is perfectly obedient. Despite the son being prepared to be sacrificed by the neck, purely for the sake of Allah the Supreme, yet the supplication is made that make us into those who follow every single one of your commands and perfectly submissive and obedient to you and also righteous. Thus, this is a station that a believer should strive to attain. That he should never be proud or reliant upon his good deeds, nor should he ever display vanity or arrogance upon his sacrifices. Rather, a supplication should be made to Allah with complete fear of Him at all times that, O Allah, our deeds are of no value. It is only by virtue of your grace and blessings that we can become righteous persons, that we can become Abdurrahman, servants of God. Therefore, it is our supplication, it is our prayer, it is our humble plea that enable us to remain established on piety and to keep intact a relationship of loyalty with you. Make us those who tread on the paths of your pleasure, because this is that great purpose for which man was created. Further, this prayer is not limited to only ourselves. Rather, we also pray for our generations and our progeny. And the prayer is, وَمِن زُرِّيَّتِنَا أُمَّةً مُسْلِمَةً لَكَ. that and make of our offspring a people submissive to thee and those who follow your commands. Therefore, after constructing the house of God, their concern is not only limited to ensuring it is populated within their own lives. Rather, they supplicated that in order for this to remain populated, in order to acquire spiritual beneficence from this, in order to become completely and perfectly submissive and obedient to you, also create such people from amongst our progeny, and this indeed should be the prayer of a believer. Therefore, this is a lesson for us today alongside the construction of this mosque, that it should not be only elderly people who have an attachment with the mosque. It should not only be those with free time who have an attachment with this mosque. Rather, even from amongst your engagements, you should take time out and come to the mosque for worship. We should also strive for our progeny to have an attachment with this mosque. Amongst the children and youth of our progeny, we should strive to produce a passion and zeal for worship. Where on the one hand, practical endeavors are required to achieve this, there one tremendous source is prayers. Allah the Almighty, who knows the state of everyone's hearts and who listens to prayers of those who supplicate with piety and righteousness, thus ask and pray of Him, that may this spirit to worship, may this passion to follow the commands of Allah the Almighty that is formed, continue from one generation to the next generation and continue thus further. If yourselves you display slackness in worship and in following the commands of Allah the Almighty, then this slackness will also continue in the future progeny. Therefore, alongside the construction of every mosque, where on the one hand we need to give attention towards our own state and towards prayers, there we also need to give attention towards the tarbiyat or the moral training of our children. The prayer of Hadhrat Abraham and Hadhrat Ismail, peace be upon them, that arina manasikana wa tub alayna, and show us our ways of worship and turn to us with mercy. This draws our attention towards our moral training and also our worship. And at the same time, it draws our attention towards the betterment of the moral state of our children. The meaning of manasikana is worship. And all those rights that are due to Allah the Almighty, and that we should act upon and fulfill. Thus, alongside worship, our attention has been drawn towards all haqooqullah, all rights due to Allah the Almighty. Further, we have been inculcated that after this worship, after the fulfillment of all the haqooqullah, all the rights due to Allah, do not assume within your own circles that I have carried out some great work. Rather, the prayer is tub alayna, that accept our repentance and pay attention to us. And accept such repentance of us that even if we carry out small or minor errors, then overlook them. Most surely you are the one who forgives and displays mercy. Thus, when in continuation you pray yourselves this prayer, then you will fulfill the purpose of the construction of a mosque. Your attention will be drawn towards fulfilling the due of striving to attain the pleasure of Allah the Almighty. There will also be an effort on your part to ensure your children tread on this path. And moreover, such prayer will bring about that supreme beneficence and mercy which came to pass in the world as a result of the acceptance of the prayers of Hadhrat Abraham and Hadhrat Ismail, may peace be upon them. Those supreme blessings which engulfed the entire world and brought about such a great revolution which caused dead people to come to life. New springs of spirituality began to burst forth. It established such high standards of worship that nobody had ever seen or heard of before. Further, it brought about the advent of that great messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who displayed the superlative levels of worship. who displayed unprecedented levels of loyalty, who reached the pinnacle of fulfilling Hakukullah, the rights due to Allah. Then, when once all of these aspects reached their culmination and highest point of acceptance, when all these aspects reached the loftiest station, Allah the Almighty made His most beloved Messenger, Hadrat Khatamul Anbiya, the seal of all the Prophets, Muhammad Mustafa, the Chosen One, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, to announce that Qul Inna Salati wa Nusuki wa Mahyaya wa Mati Lillahi Rabbil Alameen. That announced, certainly my prayer and my sacrifice and my life and my death are all for Allah the Almighty, who is the Lord of all the worlds. Thus here in the eyes of Allah the Almighty, the lofty standards of worship, sacrifice and every single act and deed were established, which had never been seen or heard before, as I mentioned. This was at climax and highest station, which our master and guide, Hadhrat Muhammad Mustafa, the Chosen One, may the peace and blessings of Allah be upon him, had announced for the entire world, that love of Allah the Almighty can now only be attained through following and obeying this great Prophet. Without following him, it cannot be acquired. This is the Usfa-i Hasana, the most excellent model and example, which established the highest standards of worship and of sacrifice. Then, those who attained direct benefits from the power of his spirituality and holiness also had new paths and avenues open to acquire the blessings and beneficence of Allah the Almighty as a result of implementing the Usfa-i Husna, the most excellent model of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and these avenues continuing opening up. Those who worshipped all night and during the day offered sacrifices for the sake of the religion were born. Those who were dead, spiritually speaking, attained the most excellent and highest quality of life. This was that great Prophet who had come until the end of time for all people and for all times. Thus, this beneficence exists even today. This Usfa-i Husna, this most excellent model, still illuminates and sparkles today as it did on that first day. That great teaching which was revealed to the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which he brought with him, is still resplendent with all its glory and splendor even today. Allah the Exalted granted that great Prophet in this age a Ghulam-e-Sadiq, a true servant, who was revealed amongst the latter-day ones to rejuvenate the work of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, which is mentioned in the verse of the Holy Quran, including purification of the self, providing the teachings of the book, and presenting the wisdom of the commands of Allah the Almighty. And then the followers of this Ghulam-e-Sadiq, this true servant of the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, strove to immerse their worship and their actions and deeds in the model of the Holy Prophet's most excellent example. Further, they adopted Islamic teachings upon their own selves in such a manner that it forced even the opponents of Islam to say that if you want to see the true teachings and image of Islam, then see it amongst these people. Thus, this is that station and standard which our elders set, and not only rendered speechless the opponents, but they even compelled them to acknowledge that if you want to see the true image of Islam, you can see it amongst the members of Jamaat Ahmadiyya. Today also, this is our greatest objective, which we need to keep in view. Whilst keeping it before us at all times, we need to silence the world through our righteous and pious deeds. We need to attract the world towards the beautiful teachings of Islam. Through our worship and through our prayers, we need to dampen our prostrations and attract the blessings of Allah the Supreme. Alongside doing this ourselves, we need to make our children those who do justice to this objective and to connect to the mosques. Only then will we be able to fulfill the objective of the building of a mosque. Only then will we be able to seek beneficence from the prayer of Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka antas samiul alim, that our Lord accept this from us, for thou art all hearing, all knowing. Only then can we deem ourselves to have fulfilled the due of coming into the bed, the pledge of allegiance of the Imam of this age. And only then, in true obedience to the Mahbub-e Khuda, the Beloved of God, Hadhrat Muhammad Mustafa, the Chosen One, Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, will we attain God's love and cater for the well-being of our life in the hereafter and in this world. Thus, today with the construction of this mosque, those who are weak should modify and set firm their paths, which is the path of fulfilling your commitments and your pledges, which is the way of proving the truthfulness of the claim of the one who is greatly loved by Allah the Almighty, which is the ways of attracting the love of Allah the Supreme. In the same way, those who are at a better level, whose attention remains towards prayer, who come to the mosque regularly and whose attention is inclined towards worship, they also, in order to attain the higher aspects of all these matters, should strive to attain the loftiest stations of their worship and haqooq Allah, the rights due to Allah. This mosque should now become a means of bringing about revolutionary change in the local Jamaat here. In the details that I have gathered, it is stated that in the large hall for men, 760 worshippers can be accommodated. In this light, you should strive to rapidly fill this hall in every prayer. Similarly, in the report I have been provided that for the ladies, 560 worshippers can be accommodated. And if required, two halls can be used, which can provide space for 680 worshippers. In other words, almost 2,000 worshippers can offer their prayers in this mosque. This can offer prayer here should be rapidly transformed into do offer prayer here as soon as possible. It is only then that you can fulfill the due of worship and of the construction of this mosque. May Allah the Almighty enable you to do this. With the grace of the Almighty Allah, in all of Europe, including the UK Jamaat, there is attention being drawn towards the building of mosques. However, the beauty of the construction of the mosque is connected to the worshippers. The beauty of these mosques is connected to those who come to worship in it. I was assessing and I was observing that in 2003, Masjid Bait al-Futuh was inaugurated. Before this, there was only one purpose-built mosque, which was Masjid Fazl. After this, the UK Jamaat has been enabled to construct 14 purpose-built mosques with the grace of Almighty Allah. Similarly, in the last 6 or 7 years in Europe, there were 13 mosques previously. Now there are almost 57 mosques. I say almost because one is in its final stages and near completion. So there are almost 57 mosques now in Europe. There has been an increase of 44 mosques in a 78-year period in various European countries. Most of these mosques are in Germany. However, again, the beauty of these mosques is not in their construction, rather it is in their worshippers. Therefore, today, once again, I say to the Ahmadis of these European countries that our pride is not in simply constructing these mosques. The Holy Prophet ﷺ had made a prophecy that at a certain time, people will display pride upon constructing mosques. However, it is not the work of those who are the members of the Jamaat of the true lover of the Holy Prophet ﷺ to display this pride. Other Muslims indeed may display this pride. However, our purpose will then be fulfilled when every mosque is filled to such an extent that they become too small. May Allah the Almighty enable us to achieve this. At this time, I will present some accounts of those who acquired direct beneficence from this Ashiq-e-Sadiq, this true lover of the Holy Prophet ﷺ, which display their passion and their high levels of worship, which I have taken from the Rawayat, the accounts. Listen to this account of the great concentration in prayer. Hadrat John Muhammad Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, son of Abdul Ghaffar Sahib Daskari, states that at the time of Maghrib prayer on the roof of Masjid Mubarak in Qadian, this was in the time of the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. To the west side, in an open area of Masjid Mubarak, Mirza Nizamuddin and approximately 8 to 9 other people were holding a gathering. They were smoking hookah. These were opponents of the promised Messiah. Although they were his relatives, they were advanced in their opposition to him. They had no interest in religion whatsoever. In fact, they rejected God Almighty. So he says they were holding a gathering where they were smoking hookah. Upon the ground there was alcohol as well, and they were all sitting in this gathering. So all of these people, when we started offering the prayers with the first takbir, they started playing musical instruments and singing songs in an attempt to distract the worshippers and disturb them. However, he says that in our prayer, we had such deep and incredible concentration that we did not even think what was happening around us. They kept on playing the instruments, but they could not stop or distract us from our worship. Hazrat Hakim Ali Sahib, radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, relates his transformation after his Pledge of Allegiance. He says, after this, I became so passionate and crazy in love that not a month passed by where I did not come before the promised Messiah, alayhi salam. Thus my life was for the purpose of meeting the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. I made a small mosque near my house, and at the Tahajjud prayer, I would go to this mosque. After the Isha prayer, I would return from the mosque. I would spend 20 or 22 hours in the mosque, and I would offer fast, and I would only eat at one time. However, I would not feel hungry or thirsty. Informally, I spent so much time reciting the Holy Quran and in offering prayer, and I remained extremely happy and content. My state became such that whenever I prayed regarding any matter and I concentrated on it, at that very time, I would receive correct information regarding it through a vision. For this reason, my love with Allah the Almighty, my love for the Holy Quran, and my love for the noble Prophet ﷺ increased. And my faith in the promised Messiah ﷺ became so strong that it could not be shaken. Hazrat said, there are many people here who have taken asylum, who are of elder age, who sit around idle and free. They should give attention towards their worship instead of wasting time. This is the standard of worship, which is an example for us. Then Hazrat Mir Mahdi Hussain Sahib radiallahu ta'ala anhu, may Allah be pleased with him, narrates that in the early days in Masjid Mubarak, there were only 3 sections. In other words, it was a small mosque which was between 3 houses. Only 2 rows could stand between every section, in front and behind. And only 6 people could fit in one row. Outside the mosque on the right side, there was a small open area where at this time Hazrat Umm al-Mumineen, the mother of the believers, may Allah be pleased with her, lived. Malik Ghulam Hussain Sahib and also Muhammad Akbar San Sahib, the late, were sitting there with some food. Malik Sahib put some rice in a plate and gave them along with some pita bread. He said, I took 2 or 3 bites from the plate. When Maulvi Abdul Karim Sahib started the takbir, the call to pray, and started the prayer, I quickly left the food and started entering the mosque. When the person working in the kitchen said in harsh language, he was giving the pita bread, that, Mister, eat your food first and say the prayer after. And he said in Punjabi that otherwise you'll be left hungry. And he said that you will then get food tomorrow in the afternoon. He said, I replied, I have not come here to eat the food. Prayer is the actual thing. I cannot leave this. Saying this, I joined the Isha prayer. Hakim Fazlur Rahman Sahib recounts regarding his father, Hazrat Hafiz Nabi Bakh Sahib, that he had a great intense love for the promised Messiah. He was so prudent and careful that whenever anyone inquired about the promised Messiah, he would always reply that I do not have confidence on my memory. Let it not happen that I incorrectly attribute something to the promised Messiah, on whom be peace. He was a worker in the department of canals, and often in the hot weather would have to travel all day. to the extent that the days with the most intense heat and those months in the Punjab, even in those days he would have to travel. He said it is very clear how exhausted a person would become in those days, yet he would always wake up at night for tahajjud, and he would also emphasize and stress upon us in the months of Ramadan towards this. His children were grown up. During the days of Ramadan, despite the intense heat, he would keep a fast. In the cold days, generally speaking, he would offer the tahajjud prayers in a loud voice and also make his children join with him. With the grace of Almighty Allah, he is a Hafiz of the Holy Quran. He would always inculcate us regarding prayer and fasting. In fact, he would be strict in reminding us towards this and be extremely angry at any slackness on our part. If, due to being busy at work, he would not teach us in the day, then he would teach us at night. This is the example for parents. This is a model that we should keep in view for the tarbiyah, the moral training of our children. In the same way, if the parents display the levels of worship, then the children will catch on to this. In these countries where people are moving and distancing away from the religion and our children are being influenced by this, in this light, there is a great need to strive in this regard. Not only do you need to remain established on the religion yourself, in fact, you need to enhance your level and standard. And more than this, you also need to supervise your children and give attention towards the tarbiyah, the moral training. If yourselves, until the middle of the night, and I have noticed this, that there are even people of age 40 to 45, they keep on watching TV. There are numerous complaints even received from some of their wives, or they remain sitting on the internet until the middle of the night, and what their tarbiyah or moral training are you going to carry out of your children? Therefore, especially for the Ahmadis living in these countries, and generally for the Ahmadis living in the entire world, this is a challenge. For Satan nowadays is transgressing all his limits and bounds in his attempts, and we need to challenge him. And this cannot be achieved without the help of Allah the Almighty. And the help of Allah the Almighty can be acquired through worship. Thus, there is a great need to give immense attention towards this. Sheikh Nuruddin Sahib mentions the circumstances after his birth. He said, after some time, I came to Amritsar. There, due to my work, I became negligent. And the state of my faith became quite poor. It was a days of summer, and the time was of afternoon, I was asleep. It was as if during my sleep it was at the last stage, and I'm seeing myself in a dream. I was listening to the discussions of people but could not reply to them. I saw the whole scene that as if they are washing me after someone dies. Perhaps this was a vision. They were bathing me as one is washed after dying, and a coffin was placed in me. Then I was buried. They put the dirt inside the coffin when people returned after burying me. Then from both sides the grave pressurized me to such an extent that I could not bear it. In this I saw that right before me the promised Messiah alayhi salam was standing. And he puts a finger towards me and says, is this what you promised with us? On the one hand, there was difficulty. On the other hand, were the words of the promised Messiah. I cried profusely. I said, Hazur, I forgot. Forgive me. I repent. I shall not display this weakness again. The promised Messiah left. He said, I woke up. I returned from that state. However, I was so anxious. I was in so much distress and pain beyond expression and words. I was crying and overwhelmed. Then I turned towards the Qibla and starting prayer. This incident remained impacted upon me for a long time after, and I kept in pain and distress. Therefore, this forgetfulness and negligence that occurred amongst the righteous persons in those days, Allah the Almighty desires to display mercy upon them and warns them in this manner. This is also a treatment of love towards these people, that He does not let them go astray. Then there is an example for women. At times, some women present different excuses and do not offer their prayers regularly or on time. Sometimes they make various excuses. There are some like this, but there are others I have seen who give greater attention towards their prayers than men. Hazrat Mai Kako Sahiba radiallahu ta'ala anha, may Allah be pleased with her, stated that once a few women came from Sekva to meet the promised Messiah alayhi salam. The mother of Maulvi Kamruddin Sahib stated, that we have to combine the Maghrib prayer with the Isha prayer on a daily basis due to busyness and engagements in work. What should we do? Ask for an edict from the Promised Messiah alayhi salam. I said to the Promised Messiah alayhi salam, due to their children, the women are delayed in the Maghrib prayer. What should they do? The Promised Messiah alayhi salam stated, I do not believe that if full effort is made, that there should be any delay in the prayer. However, if there is any compulsion and necessity, then women should combine the Isha prayer with the Maghrib prayer, because just as angels descend in the morning, similarly they descend at the time of Maghrib. If you need to combine the Maghrib and Isha prayer, it is better to combine it at Maghrib time. After this account, my Kako Sahiba said that from that day until today, we have always made arrangements that if ever, leaving aside the combination of the prayers, they always try to prepare the food before the Maghrib prayers, feed their children, and then became free to say the Maghrib prayers separately. So this was the example of these people. They did not become inclined towards combining the prayer. In fact, they tried to adopt means of saying the prayers separately. Thus, mothers who are an example for children also need to draw their attention towards this. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that Islam presents that powerful God who is free from all defects and flaws, whom we can ask and supplicate for prayers from and fulfill our great hopes and expectations. This is why he has taught us to pray in Surah Fatiha that ask and supplicate from me, اِحْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمِ صِرَاطَ الَّذِينَ أَنْعَمْتَ عَلَيْهِمْ. In other words, O Lord, show us that straight path, which is a path of such people who receive your great rewards, graces and bounties. This prayer has been taught for the reason so that you people do not just sit idle that we have believed. Rather, that you should believe in such a way that you can receive those rewards and bounties which is granted to those who are near to Allah the Almighty. The Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, those who with sincerity and true passion and devotion come to Allah the Almighty will never go to waste. This is a certainty and a truth that those who are of God, God is of theirs. And in every fear, Allah the Almighty provides their help and succor. In fact, He showers them with such of His bounties and rewards that people even try to seek blessings from their garments. This prayer that has been taught by Allah the Almighty, in other words, of Ihdina Siratul Mustaqim, is for the reason so that your eyes can open to the results that are achieved from the work that you carry out. Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states that if a person performs an act or deed but sees no result, he should then examine his practice and see, what are my actions or deeds? What did I do that caused no result to come about? Then the Promised Messiah alayhi salam states, in terms of the principles of worship, that the sum total of worship, that you should stand up and worship in such a manner as if you are seeing God right before you, or that God is seeing you. You should free yourself of every adulteration and every type of shirk, and only keep in view and be concerned of His greatness and His providence, and supplicate to Allah the Almighty profusely with the prescribed prayers and also with other prayers. Carry out great repentance and seeking forgiveness. Continuously reveal your weakness so that purification of the self can come about and a true and sincere connection with Allah the Almighty can be formed and you immerse yourself in love of Him. This is the prayers in a nutshell and all of this is entailed in Surah Al-Fatiha. Look, in Iyaka Na'budu wa Iyaka Nasta'een, one reveals his weakness and asks for help and succor from Allah the Almighty alone and searches for assistance from Allah the Supreme only. After this, a prayer is made to tread on the paths of the messengers and prophets, and a plea is made is to receive those rewards and blessings which through the prophets and messengers were revealed to this world, and which through following and obeying their ways can be acquired. Then, this prayer has been asked of Allah the Almighty to save one from those paths who rejected your prophets and messengers, and who instead acted mischievously, and upon whom punishment would descend in this world, or who considered this world their ultimate purpose and left the hereafter, The actual purpose of the formal prayer is supplication and prayer. You should pray with such an intention that sincerity and devotion is formed and true and complete love of Allah the Almighty is formed. One should try to abstain from those vices which darken your ledger and account. It is only then that yourself will be purified and you will attain the help of the Holy Spirit. You should always give God a precedence to the materialism, the worldliness, the attractions and the pomp and show of this world. Allah the Almighty should be most loved in comparison to all these things. And he who follows other tales and stories apart from this, which are not mentioned in the book of Allah, he is fallen and is merely false. Prayer is actually a supplication which is asked in the prescribed way. In other words, sometimes one says it standing up, sometimes one bows down, and sometimes one prostrates. One who does not understand the reality goes to waste. Then the promised Messiah ﷺ says, some people go to the mosque, they offer their prayers, and also follow the other pillars of Islam, but the help and succor of Allah the Almighty is not with them. No prominent transformation is visible in their acts and deeds. This displays that they only carry out worship as rituals and habits. There is no reality in them, because following the commands of Allah the Almighty is like a seed, which affects the soul and the body. A person who looks after a field and with great effort sows a seed. If after 1 or 2 months there is no growth, that is, the seed does not sprout, then one would have to accept that the seed is rotten. This is the same state of worship. If a person believes Allah the Almighty to be the one and only, he offers his prayers, he observes the fast, and apparently he carries out all the commands of Allah the Almighty to the maximum extent possible, yet he receives no special help and succor from God Almighty, then one would have to accept that that seed he is trying to sow is rotten itself. These were those very prayers by offering which many people became pious. Yet what happened to you that despite the fact of offering the prayers, no effect can be visible? This is a matter of principle, that if you utilize any medicine and it has no effect upon you, then you would have to ultimately accept that this medicine is not acceptable. This is the same state as the prayers. Hazur says, may Allah the Almighty make us those who understand this message and lead our lives accordingly. May God the Exalted enable us to carry out worship in the true manner and make us those who acquire His pleasure.
Alhamdulillah. الحمد لله نحمده الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عباد الله رحمكم الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل واللسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون اذكروا الله يذكركم وادعوه يستجب لكم ولذكر الله أكبر